everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. And we're recording as we speak right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. Good to have you along. It certainly is. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining on show number 104, this January 11th, 2005. All designed with the blind in mind. I did put a comma now, in a couple of commas.
That's right.
Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Tom, man, it's been a while since we've done one of these shows.
I have missed introducing you.
I know you have.
Don Patterson.
Well, I guess it's, January the 11th. Can't play any more Christmas carols, right? That's over.
It's
good
over
to be here.
With, you might say. My name's Tom Houston, but ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the first introduction of 2005, the creator. The producer of the Blind Handyman, here he is, Phil Parr.
Just nuts roasting.
Yeah, Emmy, tell me if I did that one more time, she was throwing me out of the house.
What, just nuts roasting on an open fire?
Song. She said, learn it next year.
I got that one. The one I don't have is...
The sleigh ride.
It's the sleigh bells ringling, ding, ding, too. I can't forget the bridge to that. Maybe somebody will send it to us.
Where's John Justice with?
When you need him. He probably knows.
He knows.
I guarantee.
He probably knows. He'll probably call us and give it to us. What's wrong with my microphone? Here, let me pull it up.
Get those microphones working.
It's the first show of 2005, and it's really hard to believe. Ellis Month's about half over now, isn't it?
Good yes, time. It is.
My goodness.
It'll be Christmas for long.
The 11th.
Yeah. January 11th. What'd we get? Shawboy, what'd you get? Did you get anything exciting Christmas?
I got a Creative Lab Nouveau MP3 player, and I sure do like it. Tiny. Pack size of a pack of gum, man. It's great.
Creative Labs MP3 player.
Yeah.
Will it play audible books?
It sure will. It plays the audible format. It'll play the low bit rate MP3s like old radio shows, things like that. It's great.
Now, do you put transfer stuff to it? Do you put a CD in it?
Transfer to it with a through your USB port of your computer.
What's its capacity? How many songs?
256 megs, and that's a bunch of MP3, depending on what bit rate it's at.
How many MP3s, maybe?
Oh, good bit rate. Oh, God. 3 hours or so, probably. Good bit rate and
at CD quality bit
at
rate.
CD quality and a CD bunch at low bit rate. So
oh man, yeah.
Got an FM radio in it. Got a line in, which is a great feature. If you needed to put something on it and you weren't close to the computer, you could run it from your line out of whatever to the line in of the little MP3 player and record it. It'll record it and convert it to MP3 format for you. So
now it does have an AM/FM radio built in it.
It sure does.
So I could record my weekend stuff without having to bother with anything else.
You could. You sure could.
And you can just record off the radio on it.
Yes.
I mean, just be sitting on the back porch.
And, yes.
Well, neat.
How much does this little puppy cost?
Oh, it costs $90, $95 or so.
Aren't you glad Santa Claus brought it, though?
Spill that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to have one of those. I guess I'll have to.
How blind friendly is it?
Did you bring it?
It's pretty much blind friendly. At least it is for putting MP3s on it. The radio and the recording is so-so. I won't say it's real blind friendly yet until I get the knack of using it.
But did you bring it?
No, not today.
Well, man.
Obviously, it's headphones only, right?
Headphones only.
Yeah.
But if you had a pair of little amplified speakers, you
which
could just
are
plug
just
into
cheap,
it.
As you can buy those for $20 a set everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that was your big Santa present.
It sure was.
Right. Donald?
Tools. Man, I made out like a bandit. Not expensive tools, but just little stuff you need. And building the garage, still doing with that. Hope to finish it in 2005. But anyway, so my lovely wife bought me a little scaffold that I needed. Yeah. It's collapsible.
I bet Emily bought you something, too.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Only kidding.
And got two sawhorses. You can raise them in height from like 30 inches to 40 inches.
Really?
At each leg. Yeah, and you can. And I got a screwdriver set. But the scaffold is interesting. I might talk about it a minute.
All right.
It's probably 4 feet wide if you were facing it. And it has the two steps. Are two boards that are probably 12 inches in in depth, and you can put them both at the same level or stagger the heights where you could use it almost like a step. It's a big step. But the beauty part of it is if you take the two boards off that lay there horizontally, that's what you stand on, the little framework folds up. It's a three-sided affair, two ends and one back wall. And if you punch a little pin, it will all fold up, and like, you can carry it easier than you can move a stepladder. So I use it in our house. We have 10-foot ceilings, and naturally, guess where they put the air conditioning vent? Up in the 10-foot ceiling. And so I got tired of lugging in my 8-foot stepladder and trying to brace yourself with your shins while you were letting down the door. And I can just put the scaffold in there, stand up on it. I'm the perfect height, and it rolls. It has wheels that you can lock in place or unlock, and then it rolls. So it's $99.
$99.
What a deal.
You can stand on top of it and listen to your MP3 player.
Right.
You could.
And talk to your good, dear, sweet wife, as long as Emily
wasn't around. And Houston?
Microsoft front page, so I can do some websites. And then I got an R200 series Epson printer.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
This is a real 5-cartridge printer.
No, 6.
Good God almighty,
man. 6-cartridge printer. And, buddy, let me tell you, it'll print a photograph like it's out of this world.
And this is the very printer that will print on CDs.
Oh, yes. This thing, I have an adapter where I can print little disc CDs, and I can label where the label goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can print right on it.
Just print directly right onto the disc.
Exactly.
Well, Houston, does it do T-shirts, too?
Well, I really don't know. I don't think so. I don't really need
a printer.
One job I got you, I think she's figured out her sister-in-law has the same thing. I don't think you're going to get that job.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
So back goes the printer, right?
One back job I got you.
I guess if I get it down there early next week.
Houston, what do you think Michael Hagee would have thought of that?
The guy, I hadn't thought of him in 100 years. Did you used to do the newspaper for him?
I'm glad I hadn't thought
of
him.
If I want to get really mad, I just say Michael Hagee.
He was printing this little newspaper. Is he still around?
Know what I mean?
Know what I mean?
If we got lucky, he's not.
Has anybody seen anything from him in a long time?
Never.
I have not. I know where he lives, but I have not been around that neighborhood.
And I guess
I have no idea.
That's amazing. Well, that's been so long ago. So long ago.
Been a while.
Printing these little papers for this guy, and Houston printed it a while, and they got crossways, and then Patterson printed it a while.
Last as long as Houston.
if you can imagine, they got crossways, and back then Shaw didn't know enough to do it, or he'd been printing.
Yeah, Shaw had gotten along perfectly,
and
swimmingly.
Shaw is the computer expert, and we're all, I don't know what happens. Anyway, we got an email to read?
We've got a little bit. Here's one that says, "Hi, handy people. Shouldn't there be a seal or caulking around where the spigot of my bathtub faucet comes out of the wall? If there should be and isn't, is water getting into the wall?" And it's Darla of Tallahassee.
I know.
I
know. I think there should be. But won't you just go buy some and put it around there?
If she can see where the spigot is coming through the home, she might be missing what they call an escutcheon. And it's a little flat or oval shaped circle. It sort of looks like a miniature lid that would fit something, except it has a hole in the center where your faucet would come through. And what you do is you put your caulking some into the hole right there by the pipe. And then also the way you make this discussion stick to the wall is put your putty, plumber's putty is probably what you need. And you put it on the edges and then push the discussion up against your tile or sheetrock. And then let it set for 30 or so minutes, and then that's what holds it in place.
Is that another name for that, a flange or something like that?
Well, a plumber, if you just said a discussion, they should know what you mean. But, yeah, a flange.
A flange.
And if you have a shower, I don't know which part of her hydrant. Well, now I'm assuming that this was a shower.
No, it's not many baths. I think her bathtub faucet.
Well, if it's a bathtub faucet, then you need to unscrew that, and the whole thing should screw. You have a nipple sticking out there. Unscrew that a little bit and fill that hole up, because water, I had the similar problem on my Allendale house down. My mom lived downstairs, and I lived upstairs, and one day my mom came to the bottom of the stairs and hollered up, "You're leaking water here right in front of my bedroom door." And sure enough, water was splashing up and coming down the wall and then So I had a little sheetrock patching, and but we solved it.
I think Darla's had some sort of odor problems in this condo. She's had nothing but a bad time with
this
condo.
She's got a tough landlord there.
Trying to move. You need to get out of that lease and move. They're not doing you right.
There was an answer on the list from Charles that I want to read to you. It said, there should be a sealer around the faucet where it comes out of the wall. If you have tile of a tub surround, it probably may not be visible and would be behind the tile or surround. The faucet is usually screwed onto the copper pipe stem coming out from the water supply riser. If there's a leak in the pipe or the seal is not good, then water could drip on the wall from inside, causing damage to the wall or floor underneath the tub. There may be a metal flange ring around the faucet.
That's the discussion.
That's what we were talking about.
That's what he's talking about.
It comes out of the wall, which can be removed to see if maybe there is a leak in the wall. I would not tamper with the faucet itself, as you could do more damage if there is, in fact, a leak behind the wall. This would be a job for a plumber. Should be reported to the landlord as soon as possible to avoid damage.
But this is the lady that we read the email before 6 months ago that just went in her kitchen one day and there's water all over the floor. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I think
she figured either her dog had had a real bad accident.
Yeah.
Or there was a serious leak somewhere. We never did hear the end of that.
That is also some real good advice from Charles. I can't tell you how many times I've had a friend or something call me, I need you to come and help me do this, and what you would think might be a 5-minute project turns into 2 days, and there's nothing worse than 20-year-old plumbing. I don't know how your plumbing is, but yeah, there should be a P-trap, but a way to get in behind there, and because a plumber, if you were going to unscrew anything, is going to get in there and put one wrench there and to hold it from, because you could theoretically, if you get the mess, unscrew something out from inside the wall. So
that wouldn't be swift, would it?
There should be a door behind the bathtub there where, an access door back there. If there isn't, there should be. Anyway, Darla, move.
It might be time to move. Actually,
moving right along. Here's a guy that said his email, he had all of his email dumped by his server. So can anyone tell me if on the list there were discussions about nailing straight, the products about nailing straight, and anyone know of a product or method for nailing straight, please write. And I had a little commentary from a guy on this.
Okay.
He says, I found a product on the weekend which allows me to nail finishing nails ranging in length from 1.5 to 2.5 inches in length.
I know what he's going to say.
Without a hammer and straight in each time. I bought a DeWalt cordless nail gun. It operates from an 18-volt battery. It comes with two batteries and a charger. You can nail at a rate of 3 or 4 nails per second when in the mode, which fires each time you depress the switch at the business end of the tool. My son was needing a tool for nailing, and at first we were looking at the air nail guns, which are a little less expensive, but when I thought of having to drag my air compressor to any location where I desired to use the nailer, I opted for the electric model. It is much quieter than the air models and much quieter than the pass load nail guns, which use fuel to explode the nail into place. If you're looking to use finishing nails, and a lot of them, I certainly would recommend this tool.
Now, yours is electric, Shaw, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is yours?
This one sounds neat, though. He's talking about shoot bigger nails than mine, too. So.
Do you have one, Phil?
I do not. I do not. I've got a little framing gun that goes with my compressor, but I don't have a little electric nail gun. But
your framing gun shoots big nails, right?
Well, no. I have a framing gun. Yeah, but then I have a little Brad nailing gun.
Oh,
a little small Brad nailing gun that shoots.
Will it go through 1/4-inch plywood?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Well, I might need to borrow.
But the key to this one though would be the battery. Only having a battery, well, you talk about take it anywhere.
Yeah, but I just wonder. You know, I've seen people that the Sears or somebody sells the. They have the little skill saw, the little like maybe with a 7-inch blade or. Yeah. With that are rechargeable, but how long does that battery last? I wonder. I mean,
I'd say with DeWalt, I'm a real fan of DeWalt.
I love DeWalt.
I think DeWalt, compared to that Sears drill that I paid almost as much for the Sears drill as I did the DeWalt drill, the difference is daylight and dark. I love my big. It was almost $200 on DeWalt drill because I bought it at Paul Adams. I probably could have saved $20 if I'd have gone to Lowe's and spent 3 days looking for the damn thing.
Uh-huh.
But Paul Abney had one right there.
Is it battery?
It is battery chargeable. It has two batteries and a charger, and it will last a long time, and it will drill through anything.
Three or four nails per second scares the hell out of me. I don't know about you.
That's what's moving on, isn't it?
I can't imagine being in that big a hurry. Well, in that case, I may finish the garage at in 2005.
You can use my, if you're going to put up paneling in the garage, you can use my little nail gunner shawls.
I'm going to put up my soffit board, you know, where the soffit vents is overhead.
Well, you want to take this with you?
Yes.
If you want to.
All right.
One other little tip this guy has.
Right.
He says if you're using large nails, he's found that a heavy framing hammer, which works much better, as the nail can be buried with a fewer strokes.
He's right.
After a little practice.
He's right. Okay. Once you, if you hit it the first time straight, then you're home free with a big, I've got a heavy, very heavy hammer. And I found the same thing. If you're hitting a nail, if you hit it the first time right, then you're home free. Because that big framing hammer is going to pound it down with three or four strokes.
And if we have time, I'd comment on nails. In my project, I have really bashed my finger one time. And I think Tom or somebody before Christmas even asked, well, how many nails have you bent? And oddly enough, it not very many, but I want to tell you, it makes a difference in the nail you buy. I bought, I'm using 16 penny nails, and Lowe's, I'm sure they may sell them, but they have a nail, it was kind of bronze looking in color, and I haven't read, but I sent Emily out one day and I said, get me a box of 16, and she went someplace else. And I'm going to tell you, every other nail I bent with these particular nails, I mean, no matter, it seemed like how I hit it, and on the Lowe's nails, the good ones, when I hit them, they went. So
what's the guy that was, every other, he kept throwing nails off the side of the house. The guy said, what are you doing? He said, every other nail I pick up's got the head on the wrong end.
Anyway, Clifford says, if none of the above works for you, I'll loan you my wife for a few minutes, as she has no trouble setting me straight in a hurry.
That's married to her sister. All right, we'll take a little break, and we have David DeFerrin as our guest again today. And,
do we know him?
David, we met him
at Houston, Texas,
as a matter of fact.
Sure
we
sure did.
He's gone. What's he going to talk about? We'll have you on the meeting. More of the Blind Handyman Show back in just a sec, okay?
Hi, my name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love is blind.
You know,
the audio magazine for singers.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this, not just Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, it's we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young person and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Hey, Dave.
Donald.
What's going on, man?
It's ugly and rainy and nasty here today.
Yeah.
At least it ain't snowing.
Ugly and rainy and
at least
nasty.
It's not snowing.
You're not talking about anybody I know, are you?
No.
How are you, sir?
Oh, doing good. How's everybody there?
We're good.
Doing good, Dave.
We assumed you've survived your Houston trip a long time ago, right? Got over that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A little tired that night, so the next day kind of just laid around like, you know.
I imagine so. Yeah. Well, say it's snowing up there. Do you see it on the list? Get that snow out of here. That seems to be the theme.
Actually, this year is just one of the strangest years. We've been blessed with hardly any snow so far. I can't believe it, but we're not complaining.
Now, you're where? I've forgotten where you are.
Pennsylvania.
Sure, you're up there not far. You and Boot flew down together, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I bet your arms got tired.
Huh. Yeah, well, it's cold,
too. Yeah, well, good to have you with us. How's Patty?
She's doing fine, actually. She's right here beside me, and another friend of mine is here who helped me out with a lot of things around here.
All right.
Patty's kind of a computer expert, we found out.
We sure did.
Down in Houston, didn't we, huh?
Yeah, she works as a database person where she works.
If it hadn't been for her, but, you know, it's really funny. Because we brought that laptop back, and for some reason, I don't think it's anything we did, but the network card wouldn't work. So we've been fighting that now and of course, you know, I've been feeling guilty about it because I took it to Houston. This is my wife's computer. But I don't think of anything we did. And come to find out, we called the people Sunday, and D-Link software had gotten corrupted.
You didn't have the card with you. It wasn't in the computer.
Nobody looked at that. Nobody saw that. We didn't try to get on any networks with it. So the D-Link, and come to find out, in Windows XP, there is a wireless thing. There's a wireless wireless IP, whatever. Yeah. We're not using this D-Link software. We just use the one of Microsoft, and bingo, it started working. So I don't know, but I'd been feeling guilty about it. I'm sure I'm glad you got it fixed. You know, because it looked like it was my fault. Of course, it wasn't, but it looked like it. You know, of course.
Never.
You know, it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, there was one or two things about the JAWS software she didn't know the keystroke for, but yeah. She got it working.
Yeah, we got it working. Anyway, what's going on in your part of the country? What were you going to talk? You and Sean made this deal.
Snowblowers.
Snowblower
safety today.
Yeah, he wanted me to talk about snowblower safety.
All right, tell us. I've never seen a snowblower in my life.
I hadn't either. Don't know one thing about them.
Texas boys.
I've heard some good descriptions on the list. So to do a good job, for the first time in all these years, I went out yesterday and I lifted my snowblower up to make sure I exactly knew what was under there. I just knew not to stick my hand under there.
Yeah.
Okay, in any event, the front of the thing is open. It's a rectangular type opening on the front there. And it has two little skids, one on either side. There's no wheels on the front. And going horizontally across the front is a shaft with these curved blades on them. Which I think are called impellers. What they do is they pull the snow in. On these shafts are two shear pins, one on each side. So if you hit a rock or something, the shear pin breaks and you don't bend the blade.
Okay.
Now the thing with these blades, they don't go very fast, and they're on a control up at the handle. You know, once you leave up the control, they don't move.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. You can actually test the shear pins while the blower's running. Because as long as you touch the front of those things, you're not going to get... Now, connecting to this horizontal bar going straight back toward the engine is a shaft, and on that shaft is a fan blade. That thing's live. Once the engine's on, that thing's live.
Always turning.
Okay.
All right. Now, anyway, this opening goes back. It's like a funnel shape. It goes back and feeds it to this fan. And then above this fan, there's a little tube that comes up toward the top, out the top. Kind of a deal, sort of like a periscope, only it's open in the front. That's called your auger. And that you can turn side to side or angle it straight or up or whatever, almost at a 45-degree angle. The snow comes out of there. So that fan is at the base of that chute. So when that thing's running, you never put your hand in that chute unless you don't want it no more.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just ask you this. Now, snowblowers are not like leaf blowers. Snowblowers...
Oh, no.
Snowblowers actually, what do they do with the snow?
They hurl it sometimes 20, 30 feet, and they're gas-powered. Leaf blowers are
they
electric.
They hurl it.
Yeah, it'll throw it a good 20, 30 feet.
Dave, let me ask you, just kind of for reference, and like I said, we're all Texas boys, but I can see some, and I think I've seen them. Would you say that a close implement, I mean, that they look like in size or some, I guess you can get them, I've seen them attached even riding mowers or this and that, but like about like a rotary tiller? Is that kind of... I mean,
yeah, it's probably, it would be about the size of a tiller, right?
Yeah, no, does it have wheels on the back?
There's two wheels on the back.
At the back, yeah. And yeah. So then this thing, the chute that you was talking about, like a periscope, you can just aim it off
you can aim it side to side.
To
or
your
angle,
left, yeah.
And angle, so, angle it up and down.
Yeah.
So if your snow pile starts getting higher, you can angle it up higher to shoot it over the pile.
And basically, that these are used for sidewalk. I mean, you're not going to get out in your yard and throw the snow, right? You're wanting to clear
it. Oh, you're in the driveway, and it throws it into your yard.
Yeah, okay.
Or the neighbor's yard.
Yeah. Or the neighbor's, yeah, depending.
Okay, so you're sucking the snow up from the bottom of the thing.
In the front, yeah.
In the front, and blowing it through this thing and hurling it over to your to the
neighbors,
side.
To whatever side.
To whatever side you want. You hurl it to Texas or whatever.
Yeah.
And I have probably the smallest one you better get around here. I have a 5.5 horsepower.
Okay.
They have them 8. My neighbor's got an 8. They have 11s, I think 14s.
Wow.
In fact, you can even get them with, like, tractor, like tank treads on them. The mine just has big knobby tires on it.
Of course, Patterson lived up front. He'd have, up north, he'd have the one, the riding snowblower.
The riding snowblower.
Well, most people with riding tractors have plows on the front of the thing.
Yeah, I'd have a little Kubota. I'd just put something, my blade up there.
That'd be kind of swift, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
This is to keep you from having to shovel the snow.
Well, yeah.
Out of the way.
Unless it's like only like maybe a half inch or inch or something. It's kind of a little too low for the blower to get to. But
yeah.
But if you got like 6-8 inches, it's the way to do it. And, you know, there even are blowers that you can hook on tractors, things like that.
So in the morning, in the wintertime, is it your job to go out and blow off the path to the car or something? Is
that... Well, we don't have a car, but, yeah, it's my job to keep it open.
Well, y'all don't have a car. That's right. Patty doesn't drive. She sees well, but she doesn't drive, does she?
Well, she's still legally blind, but, yeah.
She's still legally blind. But it's your job to go out and clear off a path.
Yeah, through the driveway.
God almighty.
So, David, after you run a path, let's just say you run one path or whatever down the driveway or sidewalk. Now, does this clear... Like, this doesn't leave, like, an inch of snow or something, like, on the gray. It clears all of it in the part you run over, right?
There might be still a little powder, but, you know, you can definitely see the pavement underneath it.
Okay.
So the width of it, Dave, like, if you was going to clear a 8 or 10 foot driveway, how many passes you got to make?
I think ours is a 21 or a 26.
Okay, kind of like a little...
About like a lawnmower.
A little lawnmower.
Yeah. A little wider, maybe, not much. I think you can get them in various sizes. And now the thing is, up at the handle, you know, you have two levers to pull back. One is to make the impellers turn, and the other lever is to make the wheels turn.
Okay.
Because this thing weighs 150 pounds.
So it kind of pulls itself. It'll pull itself along.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't push it through piles of snow. You don't have enough strength for that.
Man, it gets hot in the summer here, but I sure am glad I don't have to do that every day.
Actually, it goes so well that Patty can run it in the wintertime. I won't let her do it unless I'm here to help her.
And you're happy to let her, aren't you?
Yeah,
I can see that. Next time we'll have her on the show.
Now we figured out why he bought the small one, right?
Yeah.
So this is about Patty's size, right?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter what the size is because it does all the work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that would. And so, would you say snowblowers are kind of a blind friendly thing to do?
I wouldn't necessarily. Like, there were guys asking about how would a total do it.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to come up with an answer for them.
Really? Yeah, a total would have a hard time doing it. Well, if he knew where his sidewalk was, he wouldn't. Why would he?
Well, no, if it's a sidewalk, maybe, because they're not that wide, but if you're talking like, you know, a driveway 15, 20 feet wide or something like that,
Yeah.
Well, Dave, what happens to it? Like, say, if you were out there a total, and you know you knew where your driveway was, but what happens the instant you run off the concrete?
Well, it just goes up into the yard.
I mean, does it dig a hole? I mean, would you damage the machine? You were in the dirt or?
No, the worst would happen to the machine is you'd break a shear pin.
Okay, so it would just bog down. I mean, these impellers you're talking about are like, say, if you're on the flat concrete, these impellers are coming within an inch of that concrete, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So if you were in the dirt and they're just with the skids, you might get down in the dirt, right?
So yeah, that's probably. That's the purpose of those shear pins is so that you won't snap an impeller off.
Yeah. Wow. I can't say how blind friendly it'd be because I experience a lot of disorientation out there because the snow is white, my house is white, the neighbor's house is white, the garages are white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how would a total do it? I think if I was a total, I know how I'd do it.
How?
Checkbook.
Have someone else do it.
Hire somebody.
No,
Dave Fehring's Snow Blowing Company, right?
No, yeah. Thank you.
I wish I was somewhere where I could try one because I think I can do it.
The
I
noise.
Sense of direction. I guess the noise is terrific.
Would be there.
Can you buy electric ones?
No, they don't. They don't make electric.
They don't make electric snowblowers. No,
Dave,
they make electric shovels or something, but they wouldn't.
But not.
Say they have enough power for this part of the country.
My sister lives in Ohio, just next door to you, and her solution to this is just not to go out.
Yeah. There you go.
The electric, like shovels and things that they have, they wouldn't have enough power for this part of the country. Just no way. My parents one time bought a 3-horsepower, gas one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the year we got the storm of the century back in '93.
Yeah.
That was a real nightmare.
And so, but this thing starts like a lawnmower. You pull a rope and start it, or how do you start yours?
Yeah, you can pull a rope. It has electric start.
Really?
Yeah, plug it into the wall, push a button, starts right up.
Oh, and push a button and starts. You don't have to pull a rope.
You can if you want to, but you don't have to.
But you don't have to. I wouldn't want to.
It doesn't have a battery. You plug it into the wall, and then
it starts. No, there's no battery.
How neat.
Yeah, that sounds like a deal, man.
Just plug it into the wall, start it up. Have you ever tried starting a 5-horsepower engine manually?
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
They're hard to pull sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
So you start it electrically, and then you unplug it and go on, it'll run itself.
Go on your merry way, yeah.
If providing the alternator's good, it'll run itself.
No, there is no alternator.
All right, if you start it, if you have it, I assume, then your throttles, your two throttles, you've got some neutral position. If you start it, nothing is running, right? Except that fan and that chute.
Yeah, the engine's running in the fan. Okay.
And then you put it in drive to make the wheels pull it, but
yeah,
not
now
the...
Yeah, mine has 6 forward speeds and 2 reverse.
Goodness.
And you set whatever speed and direction you're going.
Right.
Then you pull the one lever back on the handle, and that makes the wheels engage.
Right.
And the other lever engages the impellers.
All right. So when you're going out of the garage, the impellers are not going. The fan and the chute's always going.
Yeah.
And the wheels are going in the direction you want to go.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so.
When you hit the snow, you pull the other lever down, and
the impellers start.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just going to say one thing about it too. I guess on this plug that you plug in to start it electrically, I guess that would be important because one thing to think about would be, I guess every time you started the snowblower, obviously it would be really cold, and you know how engines, man, when they're cold, they're just extra hard even to start.
It's
most
the same
of the time.
Exact power cord like what's on your computer, just electric power cord. Fancy.
Well, that's the neatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah,
not
no
having
kidding.
A battery to mess with.
So my neighbor's doesn't have a battery, but his does have a light on it. I think it runs off the magneto. No, I'm not an expert on engines. So.
Man, if I had a lawnmower like that, I'd just bring it over to the patio, plug it in for a minute, and just start it, man.
I'll tell you, they have perfected that magneto system. I have a little Thomas moped. It hasn't been started in 9 months, but it would start if I wanted to. It was kick-start. But it had a lighting system, headlight, taillight, and turn signals, and horn. And I'm not talking like the old Cushman scooters when you sped up, the lights got dim. This is a true, amazing lighting system, and it has high and low beam, and it does not have a battery.
And it really works
and
well.
And it really works well.
Yeah, my neighbor's got one, a blower like that with a light on it.
Really?
It runs that way off a magneto.
So, sounds like that's what you need. Is one with the light on it.
Why, if he can't see his house or garage or anything? Anyway, what does he need a light?
He needs a house, a different colored house is what David needs.
He needs the snow different.
Well, yeah. What I often do is I leave my garage door open, and I can use that as a point of reference. Now, my driveway is black, so once it gets cleared in the garage door, I use this for point of references.
Yeah.
Because then oftentimes when the snow is blowing, sometimes you got to let up on the impeller. So just because I don't know if you know what the concept of, you've heard of a blackout, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a whiteout. You know, the snow goes up in the air and you just can't see anything.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave. I mean, us being sunshine type people, if I mean, I know if the snow's falling and all that, but say in a normal winter time, you blow, it's Monday morning, you're sending Patty off to work, you got to go, so you go out and blow the snow. If it's an average winter, when do you have to do it again?
Well, average winter, you wouldn't have to do it more than, I don't know, what's the average around here?
2 or 3 days?
Yeah, that could be.
Twice a day?
No, not twice. Okay. Hopefully not twice.
Not twice a day.
Although that has happened, but
yeah, but not recently.
No, this year we're blessed.
Man,
last year we got 70 some inches of snow, which isn't anywhere near the record. But the thing what happened last year is there's usually a January thaw. You know, middle of January gets warm and melts down pretty good. We didn't get that last year. It just starts snowing. It just
77 inches of snow.
Yeah, I think
and what are the basic months of? I mean, when to when?
Well, last year it was October to March, but usually it's November, December to beginning of March anyway.
And like from now, so you have snow now. Say if it started in December, will it stay on the ground? You'll have snow from now to March on the ground? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Gee.
Oh, yeah.
But what?
Our record around here is about 108 inches.
Why do people live
here?
And we don't live in the worst part of the country. I mean, those guys in Buffalo, I feel bad for them.
What about Minnesota? We got listeners in Minnesota.
Yeah,
Minnesota.
One of my senior just said they go 19 feet in Lake Tahoe or something.
Man, God, that is just unreal.
Our summers are hot. However, it never hit 100 degrees here last year. None
ever did.
It never got 100 degrees in Texas last year.
I am just sick of the rain, the wet. That's my only problem this year.
Yeah, the rain's been bad.
You
here.
Said y'all had a weird winter. We had a weird year with the rain. Twice.
We got rain this year a lot.
We had we usually get around like 38 inches. We had double that this year. We had 70-something inches this year of rain. And, that's just, I remember one time when the first year Don Shaw moved up here, right after Christmas, January, February?
Yeah, January of 96.
And he called me in June and said, Phil, it just never rains up here, does it? And I thought, well, boy, you just wait.
Yeah.
And by God, it's we've had some rain.
This year.
It's still not dry. My yard is still
I'll
not.
I guarantee you the drought is over. It's
The lakes would have to be full, wouldn't
no it? No mudslides yet, but other than that, it's raining
about. I mean, like Sam Rayburn would have to be full.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Hey, Don, did you want me to talk about the attic insulation?
Sure.
There?
Yeah, we got an extra minute here, sir.
David, tell us about attic insulation.
And all that
sir.
Money you've been saving.
Well, some years ago, I decided when this place needed it. And, I asked a friend of mine what he thought. And he said, for what it would cost us to do it ourselves, call these guys in town to do it professionally. So I did, and these guys had respirators and the whole bit, and they went up in the attic. They wrapped all my ductwork up in R30 insulation, and then they blew like 19 bags of this fiberglass stuff up there.
Yeah.
And ever since, the house is more comfortable, the furnace doesn't run as hard. Unfortunately, with people's natural gas keeping raising the rates, the bill hasn't gone down tremendously.
Yeah.
At least it hasn't gone up anyway.
But that insulation's probably paid for itself, don't you think? Don't you, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Is there any... You have a basement, right?
No.
You it's your house, you don't have a basement?
No basement.
No.
I thought every house up north had a basement.
Well, this is an older house. It was a Bethlehem Steel House. And they built a bunch of them here after, like, World War II.
No basement.
No basement.
So you're on a slab or on?
Yeah,
you're
on a slab.
You're on a slab.
We are too.
One story.
Yeah.
One story. And so what's temperature right now there?
What was it outside? 33, something like that.
30. So it gets darn cold. I mean, it's cold up there, right?
You know? Yeah, it's cold today.
So are you heating with natural gas?
Yeah, gas.
Well, as long as we're sharing information, if it's not, no, we're heating with electricity, which is the poorest use of electricity in the world.
Unless you have a heat pump.
And we have 2,100 square feet, give or take, and my electric bill this month, and I use the heater some, and we're not cold, but I mean, so it was $214. If I'm not being nosy, or would it be a fair question, what kind of fuel bills do you have?
I had a $90 gas bill listed.
Man, wow. I'm moving to Pennsylvania tomorrow.
Kidding.
I'm out of
Man.
Here.
Whoa. That is good.
I'm heating with gas, and my electric bill was over $300 this month. So what am I doing?
Yeah, ours was
What was your gas bill?
70-something.
Yeah, man, I'm off to Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
you
no
guys
kidding. Kidding.
My electric bill was 43 this month.
Yeah,
goodness gracious.
Yeah, but I don't have to blow snow off my driveway, doo-dah. And I don't
70
have
degree day.
I have a 70 degree day. The sun is out right now. My dogs are out laying in the sun right now. It's 71 degrees in Lufkin, Texas right now, sir.
Well, there hasn't been any sun in Pennsylvania today.
Well, we've got it all.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave. Do y'all even have air conditioner? Do y'all ever heard of air conditioning?
Yeah, we've heard of those things.
Yeah. But you don't have one.
Actually, no, we do. The one room of the house had one when we bought this house. There was one in there, and then we bought a portable one for our bedroom last year.
And yeah. So y'all use what, a couple of months a year?
Yeah, 3 or 4 or 5 months. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, yeah, sir,
it definitely works. Comes in handy in the summer.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Tell Patty hello, and from all the Blind Handyman bunch.
Yeah,
and, we appreciate you, and we'll. You can go back, go outside and blow your snow.
We're going out to dinner.
All right. Where are you going?
I don't know. I think we're going Chinese.
Chinese. Good show.
That's what I would think. All right. Wonton soup and everything. Thank you, David, sir. We'll talk to you in a day or two.
Thank you.
David, talk to you, Dave.
David Farron from Pennsylvania and the Blind Handyman Show. We'll tell you about Don Patterson's building project here in just a minute. Back with more of the Blind Handyman. Hang on.
The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs you do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as blind like me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Hi, my name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
love
to a warmer
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singing.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
the Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
All right. Well, it's good to be back, and great guest today, Dave. Saw him in Houston at our function, and he's been on a time or two, but he's always refreshing, has a lot to offer. I guess before it's over, out there, y'all will probably become very tired of hearing
about garage
project.
I'm
proud of you if you're doing it at your age, 62
well,
years old.
I tell you, I've had a time. You know, if for nothing else, it's just been like good therapy. I mean, it's just something to do. It's something on the good days. Now, we commented earlier about the rain, and really, the last 6 weeks has been the worst weather in the world. I mean, it just keeps on and on. But anyway, I was doing some calculations, kind of bring everybody up to date. I'm just about ready to put the decking on the roof. I've probably done things a little different. A lot of people will put the roof on and then put their fascia board and soffits and all that. I'm doing it just backwards. I'm doing my trim boards, my fascia and the soffit boards simply as to have a place as a guide. To know, you know, and like every other project, I'm sure I'm not square everywhere, but this is going to give me a good reference point. I will find the squarest of the unsquare corners and start from there.
Yeah.
And I'm well along on that project, have all of the boards cut, and I'm painting the in relation to the rest of the building. These boards will be white in color. And I'm using what's called TrimCraft, and this is a synthetic board that's manufactured by Tenpool Inland, who happens to be the homegrown industry here. Anyway, so I guess fiber board, or I think my dad in his time would have called something like this beaver board. But anyway,
but you got to remember that anything that's larger than a little small, I mean, plywood is synthetic wood.
Yeah.
All wood is synthetic.
Well,
I mean, it's all glue board.
They will give you, well, this is more of a fiber than a, I don't know what they're making it out of, but the deal is, I've looked at the three main ones. There's something called smart board, and then there's hardy plank, and then there is TrimCraft. That's the three basic ones here, maybe others. Okay, aluminum siding is almost, you know, unless it's metal siding that hangs vertically, you just don't, and that would be steel. You don't see aluminum siding anymore. So when I decided on the TrimCraft, they'll give you a 20-year warranty on it. The secret to it is you must keep it painted. I mean, that's the secret to its lasting.
Yeah.
And so I have this part of the building will be white in color to match the on my other garage, and so I'm priming it with two coats of primer, and then I'm painting it before I put it up, and then all I have to do is go spot the nail holes with caulking and paint over the nail holes. And so I have all of those boards cut. I'm in the process of painting them, and I'm ready for the roof decking.
Well, you're gonna put them up first.
I'm going to put them up first.
You'll put the soffit up and the fascia board both up first.
Right. And then, and I have all of that cut and ready to go up. And what I was going to say, in calculating, you know, we started out with a 20 by 20, what the garage is 20 by 25. That was the size of the slab.
Uh-huh.
And so I did some calculations the other day, and of course the price of the slab was $1,500. I was trying to see if I'm saving any money or just kind of running. And so far, I have spent almost $500, so $1,200, and then $600. I have spent $1,800 in materials that passed the slab.
Plus the slab.
And my materials that I own will cover the roof decking, the tar paper, the rain drip guard, and the flashing on this one wall, the 5x4 metal flashing. It will cover. I'm also going to use the OSB half inch on the sides under my siding. And so all of that, when I finish that, I will be ready for the windows and siding. So thus far, to get me ready to put the windows in and the doors in and then the siding, I will have spent $1,800 and the slab, so $3,300 in the garage. So
$2,300.
No, I have 18.
Where did the 1,000 come from?
18 in the slab was
and 1,500. And then the slab, yeah.
Oh, the slab 18, is 1,500. Yeah. Okay, all right. So 3,300.
So to get me framed and dried in, without not counting the windows, but just I've spent that much money. So I think after that point, then I think for another 1,000, I'll have the windows and doors and siding on.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, sure.
And then that's not counting wiring.
So $4,500?
$4,500 will finish this garage.
We'll finish this for you. Yeah. All right, square feet, 25 by 20.
It's 500 square feet.
500 square feet.
Yeah.
So that's $9 a square foot?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's pretty damn cheap.
It sure is.
Yeah.
That's pretty cheap, $9
a building.
Because
new construction, when we built our house...
Oh, my God.
When we built our house, we closed last February the 20th. Yeah.
Not even a year ago. Yeah.
The price on our house was $70 a square foot. I heard my wife's daughter... are going to the same builder with their plans, and it is already the price of a new house construction in this area now is $80 a square foot.
Whoa, man!
I think that's a little high, but then that's just that builder. I think you could get it done cheaper than that. But what'd we say? $12 a square foot for you?
Nine.
Nice. Yeah.
Now that is not. We'll still have to add the sheetrock. You know, on their $70 a square foot, they're finished out. So mine.
I mean, that's with insulation and sheetrock.
Yeah, mine is not counting, and I am going to insulate and sheetrock. Oh. So let's say I can still do it for four. I think I can come in. I think I can do all of that for the I need
for $5,000.
Yeah. So I mean, that's wiring and everything. So.
What
I'm pleased with it. You know, if I hired this out, they figure they make half. So I think at the minimum, somebody would have charged me $10,000.
Of course, you got to figure that at $50 or $40 or $60 a square foot, that includes plumbing.
Oh, that's
that
everything.
Includes
yeah.
cabinets. That includes your kitchen sink and your bathtub and your commode and your appliances. Not your appliances, but your stuff that they put in laboratories and medicine cabinets and mirrors and da-da-da and doors and windows. So that, you know, you're coming out cheap, yeah, but you're just building a garage.
Well, yeah, but let me tell you this. On my other one, of course, it has the garage door, which I haven't figured out. My garage door that I can put on this one's $500. But on the one that I'm attaching my garage to that Billy Horton built us, insulated sheetrocked, and it's 20 by 25, it was $18,000.
So for that garage.
For that garage. Mm. So
and it's even bricked.
Difference. Yeah, it's bricked, which is cheaper.
It's even bricked.
Cheaper than siding. Brick is, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Man. Why don't you brick this one?
Well, because I didn't put a bridge.
Put a brick ledge? Oh, there'd be some guy come out and pour you a brick ledge.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
But it would be offset. The walls wouldn't match. I planned it to do wood because it's easier for me to do. I don't know how to lay bricks, and I wanted to kind of do the whole thing. And from the road, you can't see it anyway. You're not even going to be able to tell it. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's turning out, and I think I'm hoping to have the roof, shingles and everything.
We missed the whole rafter project. That would have been interesting, cutting of the roof.
Well, they're up, and I'm trying to find the roofer that roofed our house and everything. He said, I mean, you want to talk about cheap.
Yeah.
$25 a square.
Well, there's Ifan Espino.
Remember him?
Right.
That did this building?
Yeah. And I need four and a half, say five squares, so the guy will roof it for $125.
$25 a square?
Yeah.
That guy will do shingles for?
Yeah. Well, that's cheap.
That's cheap enough.
Yeah. I mean, I have to buy the shingles, but that's his labor. But my God, why would I want to get up there for...
I don't know.
And they can do it in a half a day. I remember the guys that did Phil's came at 8 o'clock and were gone at 2:30, probably drinking their favorite.
Oh, they were.
They were. In his building, it's a beautiful roofing job.
He's a bar you need to pass now. Ifan Espino is that guy's name. I've got him. I ran across it in my computer. I've still got his name in there. If he's still got the same phone number.
Yeah,
and,
that's the question.
These guys could just put a bundle of shingles under each arm and walk up the ladder.
Boy.
Shaw and I had a couple of bundles that we had to carry, both of us, to carry to put in the storeroom because I had a couple of bundles left. We had to put them in the storeroom, and we had to, both of us, took two of us to carry one bundle.
The pitch on the roof on my house is way more severe than a 512. I have no idea. It's like a church.
Yeah.
And they put little walking boards. They tack them into the roof, and they're just there. This guy was at the top of the ridge row, kid, 18, 19 years old. he came walking down. Now, he was coming down, so he had no shingles with him. But he walked upright on each one of these boards, and when he got to the ladder, he walked down frontwards.
Wow.
He just never put his hand. I mean, he just walked. That's the way he got off of that roof. I could not believe it.
Man.
Why do you hear this great story about Eric Weinmayer when he was 14 and realized he was blind? He just walked off the dock somewhere, fell on his back on some guy's boat. It is a great story. Anyway, if you're listening on ACB Radio and listening to us, he will be next. The interview with Eric Weinmayer, the gentleman who climbed Mount Everest, very nice guy, no pretentious at all, totally blind, has been since he's 14. He'll be on Blind Like Me, which will be next on ACB Radio if that's where you're listening. All right, guys, show number 104, first one of 2005.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Don, you should be decked by next week, right?
Yeah, well, not next week. Let's go for the end of February.
End of February.
End of February.
Give me a time or two.
Go get
the weather's
a,
so rotten.
It is. It's
going to get
worse.
Go get us all a brewski, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Tom Houston.
You're certainly welcome, sir.
And we'll talk to you, Don Shaw. Thank
you, sir.
And
all right.
Don Patterson.
Yes,
Carpenter Don. $12 a square foot, Don.
Not bad.
I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as you picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.